Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you this morning on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. For the last 2 weeks, our broadcast has dealt with the question, where is God when bad things happen? You know, the main points from last week dealt specifically with the following items. If a person is having trouble and trials, does it mean that they have sinned or that they have a secret sin? Well, you know, as pointed out last week by Pastor Reynolds, Job was accused by his friends of having secret sins because of the trials and troubles that he was in. But, you know, the Bible explains that that wasn't the case. In Job's case, the devil was making Job to suffer in the hopes that he would rebel against God. You know, and the next thing that we talked about, when wicked people prosper, are they being blessed by God? Well, you know, David saw wicked people having much blessing in their life. But the Bible went on to explain in those passages that their punishment was coming and that eventually they would be cast down into destruction. And it talks about that God had allowed them to be put on a slippery slope that would lead into destruction. You know, and the story of Job and the words of David, I think, shed some light on this question that we've been working with. And especially, you know, with last week dealing with when somebody is having a trial and a trouble, does it mean they've sinned? Well, you know, the answer to that is maybe and maybe not. We simply don't know. You know, and I would even go so far as to add that it isn't our job to know. We don't know. Only God knows the answer to that. Well, let's listen in as Pastor Reynolds puts the closing comments on this topic of where is God when bad things happen.
This morning we ask once again the question, where is God when bad things happen? And this is a very old question, one that has been debated many, 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 many times. The part that we have discussed is, where is God when all the tragedies come upon this world? Where is God when all the suffering, the financial crises, whenever hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and all of that come? Where is God? Why did God make the world this way? Well, the answer is very simple, as we've discussed before. God really didn't make the world this way. God made the world very, very perfect. The world in which we live is not like the world that God made in the beginning, but it is the world that has come because of sin that has entered the world. There's oftentimes injustices in this world, and that's all because of sin. It's not because God caused these injustices or that God even desired that there be these injustices. It is rather because of the sin of men and the greed and the inequalities of men and how we do not think the way that God desires that we think. God did not create this world with sin, with death, with misery, or with taxes for that matter. God created a perfect world because He is perfect. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God said that everything He made was very good, and it indeed was very good. But sin has come into the world, and now we have all of this difficulties that we find in this world with natural calamities and with economic collapses and when with government not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and there's all kinds of confusion, and Satan is loose. So we ask this further question. Why did God allow all of this to happen? The fact is, you see, God is all-powerful, and God could do anything that He wanted to do. There's nothing that He could not do. Everything is possible with God. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Why is it that God created the world in the way that He did? And why is it that God gave Adam a choice? Wouldn't it have been better if God had not given Adam a choice in the Garden of Eden? Therefore, Adam would not have fallen into sin. We would not then be facing all these calamities that we face in this present-day world. Wouldn't it have been better if God had just created us perfect without a will? And we would have been a robot instead. No, listen. God has created many, many things in this universe. God created many inanimate objects, and He created these to develop and to continue the way that He set them in motion. The laws of physics, for example, God created all of that. The reason there's gravity is because God made it. The way the world revolves is created by God. The way the world revolves around the sun is also created by God. The rotations of the earth, the springtime, the summer, the winter, the fall, all of these things are created by God, and they give God glory. God has also created the stars, the sun, the moon, all of those things, and they give God the glory and the honor and the praise. Actually, once when Jesus Christ was upon this earth and his making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem there in the book of Luke chapter 19 verse 40, the Jews proclaimed to Christ that he should call his disciples not to make so much noise because they were worshiping and praising God as he entered into Jerusalem. And Jesus said to them, I tell you that if these people should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And so God is going to get his glory, and God made these inanimate objects and all of the physical things of this earth, which do not speak, and yet they give God glory and honor. God could have made us like that, but he didn't. We're not a stick. We're not a stone. We are people. We're humans. We are special in the eyes of God. You think that God made plants, didn't he? God made the trees, the flowers. God made the grass, the weeds. God made all of that. Plants have life. They can grow. They live and they die. But plants do not have physical feelings. You cut down a tree, it doesn't feel anything. It just falls down. A plant does not have any emotions. Now, we might attribute emotions to plants and that, but they do not have any. They are physical only. Plants do not have an eternal spirit. There is no plant heaven. There is a heaven for humans, there where God is, but there is no eternity for plants. And notice that we're not created as a plant. We're above that. We can also think of animals. And of course, animals have feelings. Animals are able to reason. Animals have knowledge. They have awareness of their surroundings. But animals have no spirit. You can preach to an animal all day long the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there's simply no response at all. Why? Because they're not made like we are. Animals are under our dominion. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, the Bible states there that God has given the dominion of animals into the hands of men because we're above animals. We think also in the Bible, God made seraphims and he made cherubims. And these were glorious, wonderful creatures that extol and honor and praise God at all times. The Bible talks about these in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. And it says there that they cry one to another and say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We're not created like that. These cherubims and seraphims, they give glory to God and honor to God 24/7. They have no choice in the matter. They give God glory. But we're not made like the cherubims. We're not made like the plants. We're not made like the animals. We're not made like the cherubims or the seraphims. We're not made like the angels either. The angels were created as God's special messengers. And they have a will to serve God or not. The Bible records that there was one-third of the angels that followed Satan in his rebellion against God, and they followed Satan to their everlasting destruction. And while the angels have a will and a choice in who they serve, there is no plan of salvation for them. God has created humans and given us a choice of whether we serve God or whether we don't. God has given to us that responsibility and that authority over our lives. But God has also presented to us a plan of salvation because we have fallen into sin. We have followed Adam in his sin. And so God has granted unto us a choice after that we have fallen into sin of whether we will come to the Lord or not. So, to answer the question, why didn't God just make us like robots? Well, he could have, but he didn't. He already had. inanimate objects that have no choice but to worship and serve and honor Him. God also made cherubims and seraphims with no choice but to worship and serve Him. And this they do. God made angels with a choice. But one third of the angels fell. And when that one third of the angels fell into sin, they cannot ever come back to the Lord because there is no plan of salvation for them. But God made men, and God gave man a choice in the Garden of Eden, and Adam sinned. Therefore, the whole human race has been cast into sin. But God is gracious unto us as individuals because He did not want robots. He could have made robots. He already has made that. But He wanted people to worship and serve Him of a willing heart and of the freeness of themselves. So when we think about why God has made the world the way that He did, He made it, of course, for His own glory and for His own honor. But God wants more than just a robot or a machine that has been made and programmed that it just repeats the same phrase over and over and over and over and over again. But God wants people to serve Him from a willing heart. Now, when sin came into the world, Jesus Christ provided a way of salvation for us. Jesus Christ came and died that we might have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came and suffered and bled. He took our place upon the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood that we might be able to have everlasting life. He took our sins upon Him and He gave us His righteousness. And thereby we are children of God. But even then, God wants willing servants. Notice what the Bible states here in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, the offer goes out to this whole world and the gospel message is preached. It's preached that Jesus Christ has paid the price. He has made the way of salvation. And Jesus offers salvation free to all who would come and freely and willingly admit that they are a sinner in the sight of God, that they've sinned, rebelled against Him. They'll repent and trust Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Whosoever will come, I will give you everlasting life." Now, the responsibility is ours. The ball is in our court. Jesus Christ has already paid on the cross of Calvary everything that is necessary for our eternal salvation. And He says unto us, "Come." The Bible states in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible said in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." Are you willing? Listen, where is God when bad things happen? Yes, God could have created this world different, but He didn't. God created us the way we are. He gave us this will. He gave us this choice, if you would. And He says, "Whosoever will come." Now, what will you do? Will you come unto Christ that you might be saved? Or will you refuse and be damned? There it is. What will you do today with Jesus Christ?
You know, we're very thankful that you were able to join us for the broadcast this morning, and we would really like to meet you in person. So we do want to extend an open invitation for you to come and join us for services. The services today will be starting at 10 a.m. with Sunday school, and then 11 a.m. for worship services, and then we'll be joining back together again at 4 p.m. For afternoon services. You know, we'll also be coming together for our Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. And then for more information about Independence Baptist Church or for additional contact information, you can log into our website, which is www.independencebaptist.org. And from the website, you'll be able to listen to audio messages and read articles and books, all of which are available free of charge. Well, our time for today is up, but we do want to invite you back next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.